Welcome to the Quantum Revenue Expansion Podcast. My name is Ursula Minchus, and I'm a sales expert, strategic business coach, and USA Today bestselling author. I love sharing strategies that show you exactly how to turn your annual revenue into your monthly revenue. If you're looking to take a quantum leap in your revenue or sales, your team, your productivity, your success, and your life, then you are meant to be here. My goal in every episode is to help you take your belief that it's possible to 2x or 10x your revenue while working way less to knowing that it is happening right now. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Quantum Revenue Expansion, where we talk about turning your annual income into your monthly income. And I'm super excited because I have an extra special guest, and I got to be on his podcast already. So we've had a conversation. We're going to have a little different conversation today because I have John St. Pierre, growing the business of your dreams without going off the cliff. Oh, I've been on a two decade journey, John, of not going off the cliff. So I'm excited about that. So welcome to the show.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah. I mean, you've grown like $100 million things, so that you're like, this is where we want you to be on Quantum Revenue Expansion and really talking about that. So before we dive in, for our listeners, let me tell you about John and his background and why I'm excited that he is here. He is an entrepreneurial executive, 25 years of business development leadership experience, who has co-founded and grown two companies to over $50 million in revenues. And if you add that together, that's $100 million. So that's where I came up with that. John began his entrepreneurial career in 1995 while a college student as a franchisee for College Pro Painters. I remember them. Upon graduating with a Bachelor of Science in Accounting from the University of Southern Maine, he continued to develop his entrepreneurial skills as a general manager for College Pro. In 1998, John joined other prominent College Pro entrepreneurs as a VP of sales for HandymanOnline.com, a venture capital-backed platform connecting homeowners with vetted contractors. After the dot-com crash, for those of you who are not of our age, this happened in 2001. John took a role as president of World at My Door, an e-commerce platform for small businesses, which was successfully sold in 2002. Congrats. In 2003, John co-founded two companies, Select Sports Management, which was rebranded Legacy Global Sports, and Rhombus Services. Legacy Global Sports, a global youth management sports company founded in 2003, rapidly rose to $50 million plus in global revenues before John was replaced as CEO in 2018. Meanwhile, Brandpoint Services, a national commercial contracting and project management firm founded in 2003, is a $100 million company to which John is the majority owner and chairperson. So lots of experience building revenues. I now get like before we got on, we were talking about sports and baseball, and I see that that's probably in your blood as well. I know we have questions, but John, like, where do you want to start? Like, what do you want to share first with this audience to kind of like, you know, like, it's done all these things and so I'm going to let you just share a little bit first.
Yeah. Well, here's where I'll go. I'll go right with the title of this podcast, which is Quantum Revenue Expansion, or Quantum Income Expansion is a lot of fun, but it's also extremely dangerous. Mm. And Ursula, the story that I think we'll just bring it all home and lead to a ton of questions is, I grew our sports company for over 15 years to north of $55 million in global revenues and lost it all like that. I made myself vulnerable. I potentially tried to grow quicker than we could afford to grow. I diluted my own equity along the way. And ultimately, in a boardroom in 2018, so not that long ago, 7 years ago, was fired from the very company I had grown to north of 600 employees, $55 million in global revenues, and was on the street wondering what just happened.
Wow.
And coming back and seeing my wife and my kids and what had just happened to daddy's job and this company he was building and the brand he had a ton of pride in was a really like a moment where I had to take my mind into different spots and rewire my mind, which I know is something you talk a lot about. I had to rewire everything that I had known. It was my identity. It was everything that I had. I had just lost everything. How was I going to pick myself back up and get back on the horse and get back to where I really wanted to be?
Yeah. Wow. That's a lot to unpack. Do you know human design at all? Are you familiar
Not
with
specifically,
human?
no.
Okay. I'm curious about your human design now, because that's a lot. Like, you did a lot in a short amount of time, and you're probably a manifesting generator. You might have to go check that later. So, like, just extreme growth. You see the vision, you move fast, like, you're just going to make it happen at any cost. And yet, you know, in the back, like, part of you still, like, we can, it's still worth the risk. Like, we're ahead of it, right? So there's this piece, and I'm summarizing it in a way that's terrible. And I don't mean to take away what that journey must have been like. And I don't think we go through things without learning some valuable lessons, without a purpose. I mean, because I've asked myself a lot over the years, like, why are we on planet Earth? What is this all about? And I haven't had, knock on wood, half the tragedies that I know people in the world have had. I've lived a pretty blessed life in many ways, right? And so, but I also understand when something becomes your identity. So when you started to get distance from that, like, what were the things that were coming up? And like, I have to ask this, was there any part of you that was a little bit relieved to be out from under that?
Yeah, well, I'll start there. No.
No, okay.
I was not relieved. I was embarrassed. I was pissed. I was scared. I was lost. I was all those combined, right? Something
yeah.
you grow for 15 years and walk away with nothing of what you had built. And it's something I was so prideful of. The best culture I'd ever been a part of, the brand, the people, my best friends were in that business. I mean, everything that was there was me.
Yeah.
And in the aftermath of trying to pick myself back up, you know, I'm waking up in the morning and I don't have an email inbox because I used my companies for 15 years. I didn't have anything on my calendar, which used to be packed with things. I had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent a lot of time walking my dog, wondering what is going on and what am I going to do now? And there were moments, Ursula, of just perspective.
Sure.
I'm healthy. I got a great family. My kids are healthy. We live in a nice area. This is not the end of the world. There are people, to your point, that have had a lot worse things happening today or yesterday than me. And so be grateful for what you have.
Yeah.
And then there are moments of, okay, now what? Who am I now? And how did this happen? How did I get myself in this position? So the introspection starts coming in. I'm a very introspective person. So it's kind of like, okay, where did I go wrong? What should I have done differently? If I had to do this over again, what would I have done? And actually, who am I and what do I want to do? And you mentioned purpose. And my purpose was growing my company as big as I could, getting to that growth as fast as I could, because I felt if I did that, everything else would fall into place. Mm-hmm. And one of the big aha moments for me was this idea that I really didn't have a life plan for myself. I was going through life. And I was enjoying it, and I was growing my business and enjoying it, but my life plan and my business plan weren't connected. I had a business plan on exactly what I wanted to go do in business, but it was disconnected from what I really wanted in my life, and I think that got me off the rails a little bit. And so I really started with, okay, what do I really want? The next 30 years of my life, what do I really want? Okay, if I want to be in 30 years, where do I got to be in 10 years? Where do I got to be in 3 years? Where do I got to be in 1 year? Okay, if that's what I want to do, okay, if that's where I want to go in my life, how do I now align my business interests to that? And maybe the next time do things a little bit differently.
Yeah. So, okay. I want to take a little bit of a step back. I mean, you build, like, this is for every CEO out there who's building a company and who has partners, maybe who has a board, you know, like, their warning bells are going off right now.
Yeah.
What do you mean someone can just take your company away? Were there legal pieces that could have been put in place? Like, what? Like, how is that possible?
Sure.
And, like, did you get anything when you left? Did they pay you to leave? Like, how does that even? This was your company. Like, I'm mad for you now.
Yeah,
I gotta
you should be.
Every CEO's yelling right now. They're throwing things. Well, this is the first time we've heard of this, right?
So
how does it happen?
Yeah. Okay. Let me fast forward and come all the way back, right? The end result of this is this was the best lesson I could have ever had in my life.
Okay.
And as painful as it was, I was introspectively figuring out what I did wrong. I crystallized what I did wrong. I brought those lessons to another company that I was an owner in and helped that company grow to 100 million the right way. And that validated my hypotheses, if you will, of all the learnings that I had. And I ultimately wrote a book called The $100 Million Journey, Your Guide to Building the Business of Your Dreams Without Falling Off the Cliff, like I did. And the point of the book was for all the CEOs you just talked about that are maybe listening to this going, oh my gosh, how did you not protect yourself? How did you not do this? How did you not do that? Well, in the book, I not only tell the story of exactly what happened, but I talk about the seven principles of entrepreneurial success that I violated.
Ah, okay.
And doing it again, how I would make sure that no company or any business I'm involved with or any business I coach or anything, they're going to abide by these seven principles of entrepreneurial success because they're that critical to success, especially if you want quantum growth in for yourself and the business. And so if you don't mind, maybe a good idea is I'll walk you through the principles because that may give you another layer of, okay, let's dive into that. But these principles will explain to you how what happened happened. But the answer is I walked away with nothing but a lawsuit. And, you know, it turned into a big fat zero for me in that particular experience after 15 years.
All right. I want to hear the seven. Let's do it.
Okay. Principle one is protect and grow your equity at all costs. I had started this business with a couple of partners because I felt like, hey, imposter syndrome, I can't do this by myself. Let's bring on some partners. Let's give some equity. Let's be a third, a third, a third. 33% owner of this business. The day I got fired, I owned 8%. I completely lost control of the governance of the business because I felt raising capital to grow this company would be a lot smarter than principle two. Principle two is build your own capital for growth. If you have the right product and service, you don't need investors. Yeah, you don't need to give away principle one, your equity, to grow your business. You can actually generate your own cash flow for growth and only grow as fast as you can afford to grow. And we were growing too fast. Therefore, we needed bank and debt and investors, which would then dilute your equity and violate principle one. Principle three is reinvest smartly. You got to reinvest in areas of your business that will generate more cash flow, principle two, which will protect your equity, principle one. In our cases, we were taking very profitable divisions of our company and we were chasing shiny objects and trying to grow the company in a whole bunch of other verticals that were losing money. So we were taking good money and throwing it after bad and had waste of the cash flow, which then violated principle two, which made us go back to the banks to get debt, which violated principle one, which gave up some equity. Principle four is build a culture of intrapreneurship. So build a culture where people really, really, really treat your business like it's their own, where they have the authority and freedom to run and grow your business so that you don't have to be in every part of your business. So it can grow faster. Principle five is protect the house and perform vulnerability assessments on your business. And that could be everything from your legal agreements, your shareholder agreements, to your point on, you know, how was I not legally protected? Really, really good question. I didn't protect myself is the answer, right? So do you protect all these vulnerabilities you have in your business, principle five? Principle six is how do you access liquidity in your business? So as your business is growing, how do you take kind of that cash flow that's stuck on your balance sheet and put it to your personal wealth in a way that doesn't hurt the company?
Yeah.
And then principle seven is how do you move from CEO to chairperson so you actually own a business, not owning a job?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So what you're saying is, I mean, all the things you learned. So these are all the things that didn't happen in round one, but you were saying round two, you went and helped someone else. You got to be a partner in another company and then you got to practice these pieces. And is that company one that you sold? I'm trying to remember the trajectory.
No. So I am still the majority owner of Brandpoint Services, national construction contracting business.
That's right.
Okay. That is over $100 million in revenues and fantastic team growing. It has a CEO, president, chief operating officer, you know, running that company today. And I'm investing in other business interests now to continue to help them grow the right way.
Tell me about that. Tell us about that company. What do you do? What do they do? I know it's in construction. Tell me more.
Yeah. So Brandpoint Services is a national contracting company. They're licensed in every state in the country. And we do a lot of it's called big box commercial sites, you know, companies that own thousands of locations. We'll go in when the toilet breaks to where they're remodeling the entire location. Mm-hmm. And when you work with big, you know, locations that have hundreds of doors or thousands of doors, they'll do, you know, 50 to 100 every year continuously, yep. where you're going in and repainting, reflooring, you know, whatever the needs are of the construction refresh project of that location.
Got it. I remember that now. Okay. Got it. And so that's still growing. That's still going.
Yep.
And all of these pieces are practiced and you are protected and it's a beautiful world. So
knock on wood, please. Yes.
I don't know if you shared this, but out of all of that, did you share the single biggest learning or like the one big takeaway? I don't know if you said this already.
I didn't, but it's a fantastic question. Okay. I get asked that a lot, which is, okay, after all of this in the aftermath, what's the one thing? What's the one big message? And the message is patient ambition. I had ambition, but I had zero patience. It was now, grow fast, boom, move, make a move, invest here, let's go, let's make things. And I had no thought process of how patience combined with ambition can really have you strategize more, think more, plan more, not make moves that are going to cost you down the road, but still be able to have the ambitious growth that you seek.
Yeah.
You see, in the aftermath of this, my question was, well, maybe I should just have a $5 million company or a $1 million company or a $10 million company. You can do really well at that. And you can make great earning, great living, great income at that as well. But growth wasn't the problem. Ambition wasn't the problem. It was having the patience to realize that we're in a long journey. There's no rush. I wanted to grow our company to $100 million in 5 years. Why? I don't know. It just sounded cool and fun and aggressive and ambitious.
Yeah.
But why? If I decided to let's grow our company to $100 million in 10 years or 20 years, I would have been in full control. We would have grown at the right speed. I would have had more patience to maybe see some of the landmines that are out there. And I think that applies to everything. In life, we need to have patient ambition. Don't run too quick into things. Evaluate them properly. Be strategic about it. Make the right, concise decision before moving forward. But don't lose the ambition. You can still, to your point, take your annual revenue and make it your monthly revenue. But you have to have patient ambition throughout that process.
Yeah. I get that. Like, you can overrun your growth. Let's talk about the growth. Because obviously, you're really good at that. And not everybody's really good at that. I'm sure there's clients that are like, he's talking about $100 million. Like, I would be happy with the 1 million. I'd be happy with the 5 million. Like, their minds are like blown right now, right? How did you get, like, walk us through your mindset evolution to be able to say, I want a $100 million company.
Yeah. It sounded cool. Was the initial
John?
I'll tell you the initial part. What happens is we as entrepreneurs, this is kind of the way I view it. At one point in my career, I hadn't even grown a company to $1 million. So you grow a company to $1 million, and you get to that plateau, and you're like, okay, this is great. This is awesome. This company's growing. Well, guess what? Then next thing that comes to your mind, well, I'd love to get this thing to 10.
Right.
So you grow a company to $10 million and you get a company to $10 million. You're like, okay, this is fantastic. We're here. We're at 10 million. And then you kind of look up and you look at the next mountaintop and you're like, well, wait a minute. Like, can't we just get to the next one? That's 100 million. Let's go there. And at the time that I made that, you know, proclamation within our business, we were a $10 million company, but we were kind of stuck at 10 million for a few years. And I said, look, I see the strategy here. I can see how we can get from here to here. Let's lay out a game plan and let's go after it. We'll get there in 5 years. Let's go. And so it was part motivational message. It was part strategy. It was part ambition. It was part all those things. Patience had nothing to do with it, but it was all those other things that played into it. But you get those plateaus in life where you get to the, you go up a hill or a mountain, you get to that plateau level and you look up at the next mountain. You go, okay, are we done here? Are we going to go back down the hill? Or are we just going to kind of move up to the next one? And so that's why I talk about, you know, growing the business of your dreams without falling off the cliff, because there's a lot of companies I know so that are $20 million companies, $30 million companies that might fail this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they cannot sustain their growth due to cash flow things, other problems they have in their business. They went from 10 million to 20 million. And now they're suffocating. And so when you try and grow your business That's kind of an area I specialize in now. If you have a $5 million business today and you're saying, I want to get to $20 million in the next few years, it's such an ambitious goal and I love it. Like, I really, really love it. And you can do it. But there's also landmines in there you got to avoid. And that's where these principles come in. If you got a $20 million business and you want to get to $100 million, you can do it. But there's some landmines. And the higher the number goes, the bigger the fall can be, right? As it happened to me. And so that's the area that I like to talk about. But part of that, you know, to come into where 100 million came in, well, it came into, okay, I'm going to go from here to here to here. Guess what my next goal is, Ursula? Now that I'm on the $100 million plateau.
Billion?
Yes.
I don't know why that's human nature, right? Why do we make those jumps? But I totally get it.
I can't even explain it to you. It's just one of those where then now I look up and go, okay, I can do 10 of these.
Right. That's what it is. The mind starts to see the math.
Yeah.
So, all right. We have time and I want to unpack this a little bit more because it's interesting. When I was in the tech company, it was somebody else's company, but I was running it. It was about a $20 million company at the time. I was in my 20s. Like, I really didn't know what I was doing. I was good at selling. I was good at leadership. I was good at revenue growth, right? We were just all doing the best that we could. But talk about challenges. The owners were buying, they were buying up failing tech education centers. And then we would take them on. And my office was in Santa Ana, Irvine, California, and we were the cash cow. We were doing about $3 million a month and it was mostly profit. And so this money was like being sucked out of our branch, out of the company to go do this. And then to fix all the mistakes, because you know this, like when you buy companies that are failing, it comes with broken leases. It comes with lawsuits. It comes with
a lot.
We had company cars that no one knew who owned them. So I got to drive a really nice Lexus for a while because somebody had bought one and whatever, wasn't supposed to. So it was crazy. But you could see like this wasn't sustainable, right? It just wasn't sustainable. I get it. You know, I've been in that. And part of me honestly has been reluctant to say, I want to have another $20 million business. There's just parts of me. I mean, I love highly profitable $5 million. I even love highly profitable seven-figure businesses, right? Yeah. We play a lot with clients in that space. And I'll tell you too, sadly, unfortunately, women, and you probably know this, women in business, only 3% make it over the seven-figure mark, which is pretty heartbreaking. I don't know how many women you work with, but like, it's like, and yet we have all the skills to do it. We have the skills to do it, right? So for clients out there, like I'm gonna make you like take your brain trust of your $1 billion company that we can all already see. And let's go back to somebody they got a service-based business.
Yep.
Cause we do this. We go from 100,000 to 250,000 to a half a million, and a lot of times then we want the seven figures, right? Like that's sort of the bump.
Exactly. Yep.
What would you say to someone who's at like 250,000 right now? It's probably a lot of our listeners. A lot of our listeners want to break through a million. There's some outliers out there who have bigger companies. They're out there. They listen.
Yep.
But like if they wanted to have this quantum revenue growth, this, what'd you call it? Patient ambition, but still to grow it. Would you say to someone at that level? Because that must seem so easy to you now.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's fair to say that it's easy.
I want it to be easy. I want you to tell them exactly the magical formula.
Nothing that is worth doing in life is easy.
Okay.
I'll start there. But here I just want to start with one thing, which is, you know, one of the questions I did have in my mind when I failed with my business was, why didn't I just own 100% of a $10 million company? That's the same as owning 10% of a $100 million company. And the $100 million company is fraught with all these other issues, to your point, lawsuits and this and employee problems and everything else, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you run a smaller business and just own it all, right? And so one of the first messages I talk about a lot, and it's principle number one, is protect and grow your own equity. If you can own 100% of what you're doing, own 100% of what you're doing and keep it smaller. You'll own 100%. You'll create a lot more wealth for yourself. You'll be a lot happier for yourself. You won't have this messy business divorce at some point. All those other things kind of come into play. So there's nothing wrong with growing a small business that's going to feed you from both an income perspective and a wealth perspective by owning and controlling your own equity.
Yeah.
Now, principle number two, though, is you need to create cash flow for growth. So as an example, if you have a lifestyle business today where you're generating half a $250,000 of income, let's just leave it there to start. You're generating $250,000 of income, but you also are spending $250,000 of income on your life. Well, you have no money to reinvest in your business to grow. You have no money to invest in AI tools. You have no money to invest in new sales strategies. You have no money to invest maybe in an admin assistant who can help you kind of grow the business. Because if you do all those things, next year you're fearful that you're going to make $150,000 of net income when you really have been, now have a lifestyle of $250,000. So if you think about it from this perspective, how much cash flow after you pay yourself are you generating for the business to fund its growth itself, not investors, not banks, itself. So if you had that $250,000 business and you were able to live on $80,000 of income as an example, or $100,000 of income as an example.
If you play the tax game, you should be able to do this. I just want to say that.
Anyway, you now have $150,000. The next year, you look at your business, go, okay, how am I going to invest this into growth? And you and I both know, we've talked about this. I'm playing around with AI agents right now. They're kind of automating so many different things and doing so many different things in my businesses. They're you know, to be able to hire somebody to do the menial tasks that you have so you can go get more sales for your business. That's how you go from $250,000 to $500,000 within a couple of years. And then if you still don't extract all that cash from your business, you leave it in there for reinvestment, and you do principle three, which is reinvest smartly in your business, well, then you'll be able to grow from 500 to 600 to 700 and not be in a rush to get to a million. Just have a strategic plan of how you can grow and not grow faster than your company can afford to grow. Grow at the pace your company can fund its growth. Yeah. That's the message for everybody. It's the first three principles of the book. Protect your equity. Grow your cash flow for growth and retain the cash flow for growth and invest it smartly. If you do those first three principles, you'll continue to see your business going and going and moving. And who knows? You may get to a million and go, you know what? I can hire five of me now. I can hire five people to do what I was doing and we'll be 5 million within a few years. And that just kind of takes off from there. But if you're extracting all the cash flow from growth, you're partnering with too many people out of the gate, it just gets too complicated. You're going to be stuck in that current position for a while.
Yeah. And one of the things you keep saying is like using the equity, using the revenue, like reinvesting the money that's coming in. And that money comes through something we call sales, right? That's what you're talking about. Like you're creating that revenue. So I know we only have a few minutes left. You know, we talk a lot about sales on this show. Sometimes people get stuck there. They may not have this, the gift of sales that I think you have and others have. Like it just seems easy for you. Any tips you want to share there? Like, you know, for someone who might be struggling, maybe they're struggling, they're stuck at 250 and they're like, I would love to invest another 200,000 into my business every year. I'm stuck at this income ceiling or this sales level.
Yep. Yeah. It's a simple one in my mind. I the amount of times that we have met people, I'm going to put you in the same bucket because I'm sure you would say the same, who just have this impression that sales is a dirty word and therefore they mentally block, I'm not a salesperson. But then you just ask them to tell them about what they do and how much they believe in what they do. And they start talking like they're the best salesperson in the world.
Right.
And in my mind, if you believe in what you're doing, you believe that you're helping people with your products or services. If you truly, truly believe that and you're not telling more people about it, well, shame on you. Hmm. That's the way I view it. And I've had a few people recently in my life who would proclaim to you they are not a salesperson.
Right.
But in a couple of examples, they saw a need for what we were doing to help businesses and help people and entrepreneurs that maybe are trying to grow their business and maybe getting too far out of their skis. And they said something and they proclaimed something and we changed a couple of lives. And my response back to them was, I know you don't want to hear this, but when you believe in something, you're the best darn salesperson that exists out there because you just speak from an area of passion and conviction of what you're doing. And so if you have that view of conviction of what you do can really help people, then shame on you if you're not telling more people that need it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. We're sometimes like, I forget all these gems though, you know, we don't talk about them every day and that like what you just shared for our listeners, I'd go back and listen to that. And probably that's going to be, we do quotes at the end. Trish is going to create some of your quotes. And I'm guessing that might be one of the quotes that come out because it's so true. Like we talk about sometimes for a lot of our companies, like you're the answer to somebody's prayers. you're doing a disservice by not talking about what you do. And sometimes it's easy to say, and you mentioned it earlier, like imposter syndrome and other things can, you know, come up, and then we can get in our own way, and there's all of that. And that's why we need coaches, right? Because you're 95% more likely to achieve your goals, according to the International Coaches Federation, by having a coach, which is a perfect segue into, it's one of the things you do these days. So segue into that. Tell us, John, about the clients you work with, how they might be able to work with you, where in the heck to get your book. Yeah. And I know you have something else for free.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would encourage people to go get the book, The 100 Million Dollar Journey, of course, because it's my book.
And I apologize for not reading it ahead of time. I don't even have I don't have an excuse. I'm just sorry. And I'm going to get the book and I can't wait to read it.
Absolutely. And for those who think, well, I'm not near 100 million, so this book doesn't apply to me, think again. This is the book about how you grow a business potentially the right way or the wrong way, is what the book's really about. And it talks about the failures and the learnings and all those kinds of things. And I do have, to your point, a free workbook on my website, 100M as in million, 100mjourney.com, where there is actually a workbook that goes along with this for the seven principles, with actually financial worksheets on what, you know, numbers and how you reinvest for growth and how you can fund your own growth and all those kinds of things. So I encourage people to go get that book. And also, on top of that, if you read the book, get the workbook, and want to have a 30-minute free consultation with me, I'll talk with anybody. The reason why I'm here, Ursula, is as I'm preaching the gospel now, right? I'm like, I don't want anybody to go through what I went through. So that's my mission. That's my 30-year, when I think of my 30-year life plan, in that 30-year life plan, I want to help entrepreneurs build the business of their dreams without ever having to go through what I had to go through. That's kind of my mission and calling. And so I do work with entrepreneurs on a one-on-one coaching basis. I do have a mastermind group that I work with, you know, entrepreneurs twice a month in those groups. So, you know, if I can help in any way, I'm here, I'm available. Please reach out, and appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and your audience today.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. And for everyone, we'll have this in the show notes, but it's 100mjourney.com, 100 million dollar journey. So 100mjourney, we'll have that. Yep. Definitely grab that workbook, get John's book. If you feel compelled, you know, spend some time with John. What I love about what you do, John, is that you build, we talk about containers, and you have a $100 million container that you've stood in. So that's a big deal. So for those clients out there who are, you know, maybe at 20 million or 50 million, right? Like they want to make that leap, or they're at 5 million, you want to go to 10 million. Like, this is a really good place for them to be. John, final words. Like, what do you want to leave everyone with before you wrap up today?
I'm going to go back to what we talked about before, because it's that important. You need patient ambition. Mm. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen next month necessarily. Have long-term dreams and goals. I have a 30-year life plan. Do you, as the audience, like, do you know where you ultimately want to go? And I'm 51. So I have a and when you think 30 years out, 30 years.
I'm 51. Like, I think about that. Like, we're going to be 81. Did I do the math?
Yes, but it's a long time from now. And people overestimate what they can do in the short term, and they underestimate what they can do in the long. In 30 years, you can do anything. And so if you have a long-term horizon, long-term goals for yourself, all you got to start doing is putting in the blocks, step over step, and you will get that quantum growth you're really looking for. It's just not going to happen tomorrow. You need patient ambition and a long-term plan to go get it.
Yeah. Patient ambition, everyone. John St. Pierre, thanks for being here with us today. We appreciate you, and we wish you a phenomenal year. To our listeners all over the world, thanks for hanging out with us. If there's anything we can do for you, or if you have a suggestion for a guest or a topic you want me to talk about, email us at contact@ursulainc.co. That's it this week. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you loved what you heard, be sure to leave a review on iTunes so I know what you like and can create content that guides you to uplevel your business even more. If you want more strategic business tips, follow me on social media. You'll find me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And you can visit my website at www.ursulainc.co. I love being on this journey with you and can't wait to connect with you on the next episode. In the meantime, make this your most epic month yet.